Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart combos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Another episode of the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and I am so delighted that you're here. I have iced coffee in hand, and I just got back last night, from a two-day trip. I was outside of Gainesville, Florida, touring four different produce farms, and boy, oh boy, did I learn so much. I was sent there through Fresh from Florida and FFVA. It was sponsored travel, but I want to be very clear that this podcast that I'm doing right now is not a sponsored podcast. Like, they did not pay me to talk about this here. I just could not stop thinking about on my trip as I was learning all of this and seeing all of this with my own eyes about how learning where our food comes from deeply impacts our relationship to food, because I just experienced it. I wish I could have experienced this sooner. And I just kept thinking the entire trip, I wish so deeply that people had this opportunity. And I recognize how privileged I was to go on this trip and am to get this education. And there's just so much nuance that I want to unpack here and talk about. And I want to give you also, as the listener, tangible tips to take away from that. You're like, okay, well, I don't get to go on these, you know, detailed farm tours and learn about where my produce is coming from or things like that. But there's things that you can do that will be helpful. And so I want to share a little bit about my trip. And then I want to kind of talk about those takeaways for you. So we're just going to jump right in for sake of time today. Like I said, I was just out of office for 3 days because I had to travel on the one day and go. So I have just been deeply, I just came off my emails, my projects. I had to do some social. I'm sitting at, I know you don't care about this, but I'm letting you know that my brain cells are very limited right now. And I got to get this podcast out. So I said, you know what? We are going to talk about where we just were. So I started my trip with, I was at a farm called L&M, and it does a lot of produce for Florida local. So it does, they harvest peppers, they have strawberries, squash, I believe cucumbers. But what I got to see on the farm specifically was their peppers. Now, when I tell you, I don't know if you've ever been to a farm and seen thousands upon thousands of baby bell peppers being grown with the it's like this plastic they put over them to protect them from weather and animals and all of the things. Oh my goodness. It was magical. It was absolutely insane. Insane. And I will put in the show notes, I'm going to do a video recap so that way you can click the link in the show notes and look at my video of what I'm talking about, because I want you to see it was this mystic fog morning, and you, just as far as the eye can see, you're looking at these little sprouts, and these were hand planted. That is absolutely insane to me, and they're going to be hand picked. That is something that when I go to the grocery store, I'm not thinking about. I'm going to be honest with you. I have never gone and picked up bell peppers and been like, oh, my local farmer planted these with his hand and then picked them. No, that's just not something I'm thinking about. Same thing with the strawberries. We were picking them fresh off the vine and just dusting them off and eating them. They were so delicious. They were just absolutely gorgeous. Then after that, we headed over to Grimway Farms, which is one of the largest carrot farms that supply, I believe like all over the US, but definitely the largest in Florida. And I got to ride on top of a carrot harvester, which just like, it's this massive tractor machine, just like just pulling carrots out of the ground and putting them onto a conveyor belt and ripping the stems off. It was insane. Again, you will see all of this in the video linked in the show notes, but it just, again, you can see the carrot stems and leaves, like, you know, obviously carrots are planted underground, so you can see them as far as you can see. Like, think about looking at the Atlantic Ocean, but instead of looking at the ocean, you're just looking at greenery. And then this massive, huge carrot harvester is just pulling hundreds of thousands of carrots out of the ground. They had this huge dumpster that they said if they get like 15 of these filled per day, that's like a light day. I cannot even explain to you the amount of carrots that I saw. It was mind-blowing to me, and I love carrots. And then from there, we went to this farm called Cultiva Farm, which does baby greens, cilantro, arugula. They have a very innovative way of farming where it's like partially covered to try to help with heat and, again, weather. And it was just so cool to see how these farmers are looking at their obstacles and the issues that the biggest hurdles that they run into with farming and saying, how can we be innovative and come up with ways to protect against these things? And so it was incredible. And then the next day we went to a blueberry farm. And we're, again, I'm recording this mid-March. We just came off of like the biggest Florida freeze that Florida farmers have seen. And they had so much destruction to their crops and devastation. And it was so sad to see. And when we went to the blueberry farm, she showed us all of these pictures. It was a female farmer. And she showed us all of these pictures on her phone of her blueberry plants that were just absolutely covered in ice. It looked like Elsa just came in with her snow powers and covered these plants. And again, these are things that, like, when I'm going to the grocery store and I recognize how naive and privileged I am that I'm just walking in and grabbing things, I am not thinking about people hand planting and hand picking my blueberries. Now, there are some farms that I believe that have autonomous, you know, like pickers and machines, but not all crops can be picked by a machine, like the carrots. Like, a lot are still hand picked to preserve freshness of the produce. So, for example, blueberries, something we learned a lot about these past few days of, like, you know, blueberries have like a little smush, a little give to them. So it's been really hard to find a machine that has been able to harvest them and not smush them and ruin them in the package. So they're working on breeding blueberries to have a harder outer shell that won't puncture when it is being, sent to the stores. And then on top of that, to enlarge the blueberries a little bit, because you have to think about, if these are being hand-picked one by one, you're doing the same motion, but you can yield a bigger fruit, more nutrients, right? A larger weight, if you will, of the blueberry. We are using science to be able to do that. And again, back to this innovation, there are scientists that are doing this at University of Florida. We were lucky to go to IFAS on campus and learn about their agriculture program and the science that they're doing. And they have, I believe it's over 100 acres of land where they are running research projects for crops to help with disease and pest control. And just, it's mind blowing. Like, I could talk to you on here for probably 10 plus hours of everything I learned, and I'll probably butcher some of it, but I just wanted to word vomit into the microphone everything I was not only learning and seeing, but thinking about, because of course I'm looking through this as a lens of how this would impact somebody's relationship to food. And so that's really what I wanted to get to today. So one thing I think is important to recognize is that the past few days I was at produce farms, right? And we know, I don't have the exact stat pulled up in front of me, but the average American is not meeting the requirements for fruits and vegetables. And we know that fruits and vegetables give us fiber. They give us many of our vitamins and minerals needed, and as well as hydration. They're just so imperative for health. But we also know that a lot of America is hungry. Hunger is rampant in our culture. And to tell people to just eat more fruits and vegetables, they have to have access to them. And that was something that I was talking a lot about with the farmers of, and it's so interesting to learn about these local farmers of how much of their produce they're even donating to food banks that because they can't get it, you know, whether it's has a slight imperfection on it, that won't go to a store because a store knows they can't sell it. But like that could just be because one little sand particle fell on the pepper. And then as it grew, it has like a zipper now it looks like on the pepper. So that can be used in food service or that can be given to a food pantry. And it's completely like the nutrient density is the same, but it just has this little imperfection on it. So these farmers were talking about how they do donate to local food banks and not only the ones that have these, you know, aesthetic imperfections, but just extra crop and commodities. But it, there's so much I want to get to, but I want to just kind of first say that of like, if you're listening to this and you're like, I don't have the resources to buy fresh fruits and vegetables. Like I'm struggling to like get food on the table or fill my car with gas. Like the price of gas right now is rising and rising with what is going on in the world. And I want to just acknowledge that this is not me saying like eat more fruits and vegetables. But one thing I will say is by seeing the fruits and vegetables, by seeing what these farmers do and the sweat equity they pour into this and the love, the labor of love that these farms are, and to see them, you know, undergo complete devastation and hurricanes where their entire farm is wiped out and they are losing all of that money. Like if they don't have a crop, they don't get paid, right? And then, and just the labor of love that they pour into this food, it like I came home and I was like, oh my gosh, I want to go to the grocery store and I want to see the fresh from Florida label and I want to eat local and I want to support my farmers. And I've always like had a desire for that, but seeing it with the human eye, of course, and humanizing these farmers and these families and these businesses, these small businesses, it just really was eye-opening. And so I was trying to think like what would be the most impactful thing for me to talk about here. And I believe that kind of like supporting local theme I want to talk about. Now for me, I am in Florida and this trip that this sponsored travel that I went on was put on by this government program called Fresh from Florida, where there is a sticker or they sometimes put it on signage where if you're going into a Florida grocery store, you can know if your produce is coming from Florida. And why that's important is because when we're looking at the nutrient density of produce, the quicker it goes from being picked to being consumed, it's going to have higher levels of or just higher quality of vitamins and minerals and nutrients. And so that's something that you don't have to be living in Florida for this to be helpful. If you live in Massachusetts, if you live in California, if you live in New York, there you can easily flip over produce, like of course things that are in packages, right? Like blueberries and strawberries and potatoes are in bags and things like that, where you can see where this produce has come from. Now, for me, if I'm using the example of Florida, I'm going to make it a priority to support local Florida farmers to try to get my produce from Florida. But if I can't do Florida, or if you can't do your home state, then from there you can say, okay, what is my closest? For example, we border Georgia and there is a ton of produce that comes from like the southeast region of Georgia. So if I can't get something from Florida, I'm going to say, okay, can I get it from Georgia, where it has almost less than a 1 hour truck drive for me, where I am in Northeast Florida, to get to me. And again, trying to lower the amount of time that the produce goes from being harvested to being on my plate or from me taking a bite of it. And that is something that you can do everywhere. And what I learned, I mean, obviously I know Florida climate is desirable, right? That's a huge draw of why I live in Florida, of these warm climates. Like we were out on the farms and it was hot. I mean, it's mid-March and it was like in the 80s. We were sweating. I know you might be listening to this and you're like, still have your snow suits on, right? And so we get a lot of fresh produce from Florida because of the climate and because of the weather and because our farmers can grow year round. Obviously up in the New Jersey, New York, you know, Northeast areas, fall is huge for you with pumpkins and squash and apples and different, you know, different seasons are going to yield different crops. So the more that you can try to stay local, obviously that also kind of expands on this idea of purchasing things that are within season. Now, as I talk about all this, I want to just put like so many disclaimers that going back to the access to food, like, do you have access to money and resources to be able to do this? But to just really take a broad step back and say, like, sure, all of these things are great. Can I buy local? Can I buy, if not in my home state, my neighboring state, in season, all of these things. But I want to stress that the majority of us, including myself, are not getting enough fruits and vegetables, period. Period, end of sentence. And so, sure, all of this information is great, but I think we have to come back to, okay, well, what can I do to first increase my fruit and vegetable intake because I want to, not because I have to. If you're new here, you know, we're always removing that guilt and shame. And a lot of what we're talking about today kind of goes under that gentle nutrition umbrella, which if you still feel guilt and shame for eating certain foods, I would much rather us start going back to different episodes of the podcast of making peace with food versus jumping head over heels into today's conversation. I still think it's a important conversation to have, to just recognize that we aren't getting enough produce. And a lot of that comes back to our food environment, to our access to food, to the price of food and all of these things. So there's just so many different ways I want to go with this. I'm like, I could talk about this forever. I think for me, going back to the relationship to food is a big one. And seeing the food being grown, seeing it being picked was just, it just gave the food a story, right? It gave the food a story. And I think that for me was a really a big game changer. And so another point of conversation that came up over and over and over again as we went on all of the different farms was this idea of conventional versus organic. And also talking about how farming is a dying industry in some ways, because these big developers are coming in and they are going to these farmers who have been in farming, you know, their families have been in farming for generations and generations, and knocking on the door and saying, we'll give you however many millions of dollars to build on your land. And these farmers are struggling to even break even with the crazy climate loss that we've had, or if they just got knocked out by a hurricane, or, and it's really hard for them to pass up. So I believe they said that the rates of farms is finally getting stagnant, but it was at an alarming decline for a while. And we can't blame these farmers. They're trying to make a living, right? They're trying to feed their families. They run businesses at the end of the day, and they can run a business and deeply care about people. And I think there's this big miscommunication and misinformation that farmers are just like spraying crops with poison and they're just doing whatever they can. It's like, no. The amount of conversations we had about the different herbicides they use and pesticides and how they, a lot of them are using organic sprays, but they can't say that they're organic because they're technically not a certified organic farm. So then they can't say that, but they're spraying the crop with that. But maybe the fertilizer is conventional. There's so much nuance to this conversation, but at the end of the day, it kept coming back to this idea where the farmer was like, I would never put something on my food that I wouldn't want to feed to my family. And so many of them know so much about the plants and the, like, what this plant needs to survive and the soil health. And not only that, but the insects that are so vital to the farming process. That was something that absolutely blew my mind when we were at both multiple farms had bees on the property, right? Because you need pollinators in farming. And the one, the blueberry farm, had 12 to 24 million bees within their like 42 bee homes that they had on site that they bring in when they are in the middle of growing season. And these bees go on the flowers and, you know, in the produce, and then they at night go back to their bee boxes and then they fly back. And they were even talking about how specifically the farmers would spray, like when they had to do certain sprays, they would actually take bees off property. And some of the farmers don't even spray plants directly. They're spraying the ground in which you walk on in between the plants. Like there's it. My brain is just swirled with all this information. I think it's so important to recognize that as someone who deals with misinformation on the internet about nutrition over and over and over again, I just couldn't help but recognize that in this agriculture world, there is just as much, if not more, misinformation being spread and needs to be debunked and needs to be talked about and needs to be shared. And so I put some notes in my phone here that I wanted to talk about, and I want to make sure that I get to some of them and that I don't. Oh, okay. So I mentioned before the conventional versus organic and how some of the farmers were, you know, using organic products and conventional, and so they can't say they're certified organic. But what I was talking about at the beginning of this episode, which you'll see in some of my social media videos, is that when you, if I take peppers, for example, when you see with your human eye, like think about an ocean that just goes on forever, right? And you just, you see it forever until it meets the skyline. That's how this pepper, like their pepper fields, there were peppers forever. Like my eye just could see on forever. And these were hand planted, right? And then they're going to be handpicked. These farmers are doing everything in their power to be sustainable and to get a high yield to be able to feed our country. We are just, and to think about the world really, right? Like we're as a world, I believe we're just under 8 billion humans. Like that's a lot of people to feed, right? And when we think of the infection that can spread between plant, like different produce and plants, when we think about the pests, especially in Florida, the humidity and the rain and the wetness that we get in this climate, and how people, I just see on social media, people throwing around this misinformation about like, they're spraying everything. Like there are certain things that these farmers have recognized that if they don't use certain things, there won't be crops. Because I don't know how much you know about Florida citrus, but so much of it has been wiped out by this infection, right? And the plant, this disease killing the plant off. And so I think there's just this misconception that farmers are, they're just poisoning us with food. It's like, no. They're trying to keep the food alive and keep you the safest. And they are never going to do anything to the food that they would not feed their family. These farmers, like the first farmer we met, he's a girl dad of three. I have two girls. So he's shown me pictures of his girls. His girls out on the farm, picking their potatoes, picking their strawberries. Like they want their kids to be involved in this. And as someone who is a parent, and if you're a parent or an aunt or an uncle, or if you're close with kiddos, like, you know, you want what's best for your kids. And so I just, this organic versus conventional thing, like debate, obviously you have autonomy to do whatever you want, but there are still so many chemicals used in organic sprays. And just because it's organic does not mean it's better for you. And going back to what I said earlier, if you want an increased nutrient density, it's really important to buy as close to where you live as possible to get the quickest turnaround from when it is harvested to when it goes into your mouth. And if your organic produce is getting shipped in from California and you live in Florida, well, that's going to be on a truck for at least a few days. And just because it's organic and it's coming from a different state doesn't mean it's healthier than if we could get a conventional thing. And they were saying turnaround time can sometimes be next day, depending on location to farm. So, and then again, going back to this idea of, okay, sure, you can look at, you know, organic versus conventional, but that conversation doesn't even need to be presented if we're not eating enough fruits and vegetables. Because at the end of the day, if we're not getting enough fruits and vegetables, that needs to be the first thing prioritized before we're looking at, is it organic? Is it conventional? And again, back to my other point, do we even have access to fresh fruits and vegetables? And to remind you that frozen produce is an awesome option as well, because it is picked at peak ripeness and then flash frozen, which means the nutrient density is maintained. There are times that fresh produce is actually more nutrient dense than something that is picked and then you're not eating it for days, or you get it, maybe it's sitting at your market for days and days and days on end. So the quicker you can get that produce, including the frozen or even canned, like, I never want anyone to listen to this podcast and be like, I need to buy all fresh stuff. No. That's not what I'm saying. If you can, great. But if you can get canned, I love canned veggies. I love canned fruits. I love frozen. There is a place for all of it at the table. But recognizing that getting these fruits and vegetables in the first place is most important. And even if you don't live in Florida, Fresh from Florida has an amazing website that I will share in the, I'm going to share a bunch of resources in the show notes below. One is a chart that can show you what produce is in season and when. So if you say, oh, well, you know, when people say shop in season, well, what does that mean? You can look at this chart. Two, I'm going to share the Fresh from Florida website that has some really simple and delicious recipes from their chef Justin, who we got to meet, who is like an amazing chef, who cooks with the fresh produce and kind of just gives you different ways to utilize it and store it and all the things. And then I'm also going to give you a website to IFAS, which has a ton of science-backed research on agriculture and just farming practices and all of these things. I think knowledge is power. Education is power. I think it's clear, if you're still here with me on this episode, that I'm totally brain dumping on you, and I have so much more like designated research and learning I want to do to this. But I hope you can tell from my passion and from my eagerness how important this really is and how eye-opening it was for me. And if you're listening to this podcast, it's evident that you do care about your health, and it's something that you want to genuinely improve your health. And if you get to a point where you can make peace with food and start to make nutrition decisions that feel pleasant for your body physically, mentally, and emotionally, produce does come into play. And not because you're on a diet and it's the only thing you're allowed to eat. No, because you genuinely want to give your body nutrient-dense foods, and you want to enjoy your food, and you want to pull satisfaction from food. And that's something that we can do with produce. So call me Farmer Sam. I actually have another farm tour that has not been confirmed yet, but that means I will have gone to 7 farms, 8 if you count the alpaca farm. But that's not, I went to an alpaca farm to stay there with my family. They don't source food on that farm. But it was just, it's incredible. And if you have, you know, another way that you can get exposed to this is a lot of these farmers, you can look up, you can Google, you pick, like the letter U, you pick farms near me. There are a bunch of farms that locally will do, like, you come and pick and you pick strawberries or you pick blueberries, or you, obviously pumpkins is a big one in the fall, or you pick apples and you can go. This is not only for people with kids, and I want to make that clear, because I think before I had kids, I was like, why would I go to a farm? Like, that's for kids to pick apples. No, it's so fun. You get to learn about them. You get to see them. You get to taste them. You get to, like, and I think just seeing it to scale of how much is grown is just so freaking cool. So that's my homework for you, is I'm going to give you all of these links in the show notes, but I'm also going to challenge you to Google, you pick farm near me, and go to a farm. What do you have to lose? It's a fun activity. A lot of times, not only is it like a low cost activity, but then you can also support your local farmers. So it's just, you can meet people in your community. It's just a great way to kind of be involved. So I am sure that I will have more to say on this, but I just thank you so much for letting me brain dump on you what I have been learning the past 48, 72 hours. And I'm so excited to kind of dive into this new venture of how, where my food is coming from, and really seeing it is going to be impacting my choices, and continuously educate me as well, and share what I'm learning alongside you. And that comes back to the 10th principle of intuitive eating, is gentle nutrition, and making these decisions because I want to, not because I have to. Anytime I would eat produce when I was dieting, it was just because I felt like, air quotes, I had to do it, or I was healthy, or whatever the hell. Now it's like I'm empowered to make these decisions, and it's just so, so vastly different. So please know that I understand that every single person listening to this is going to be on a different trajectory of their relationship to produce, their access to food, their resources, their financial resources, their proximity to farms, their proximity to grocery stores. I mean, that was another tidbit I learned, of how many local farmers supply to Costco, Publix, Aldi, you know, these big box stores that are nearby. Just supporting local doesn't mean that you have to go to a farmer's market. A lot of these farmers have these contracts with the local big box stores. And a lot of times you can, and that's what we got to ask, is like, how do you know? Well, some of it is through the labels. Some of it is these stickers that'll say fresh from Florida, or whatever your state may have. And they really encourage us to talk to your produce managers, talk to your store managers, get to know the people in your community, and ask, like, where is this produce coming from? And when you're referencing the in-season sheet that I'm going to have linked here, like what produce is in season, you can really start to see, oh, okay, well, when these apples are in season, I know that these are definitely coming from my state, New Jersey. So that's easier to buy local versus, you know, citrus in the winter. It makes sense that you might not be able to get citrus grown in New Jersey when you're covered in 6 feet of snow. So we do the best we can, right? And they kind of told us, if you can't buy local, try to go, you know, out from there. And if you can try to support the farmers in the United States, that's incredible too. So thank you for listening to Farmer Sam on my ramble here. And please send me a DM. Anytime I share about farming, I'll get some interesting messages from people who either their family is family of farmers, or they know farmers, or they studied agriculture, or whatever it may be. And I would love to hear from you, and any knowledge that you're willing to share, or resources that you're willing to share. I'm excited to continue to learn and grow in this subject matter. Because again, this is not something that we see a lot in the nutrition field. We're learning about the nutrient metabolism, and once you put that food into your mouth and chew and swallow, what happens. So, but I feel like this, especially in the intuitive eating field, when we're talking about your relationship to food, where your food comes from, how you grow it, how you cook it, as we know, has a massive impact on your relationship with food. So it was just mind-blowing to me that as an intuitive eating counselor who has been on this journey for years, how much the past 48 hours has impacted my relationship with food. So thank you to to listening to me. Thank you for letting me share. And I'm excited to hear from some of you in the DMs. And just a friendly reminder that if you're looking for support, we offer free one-on-one counseling, virtual counseling with our dietitian team. You can click the link in the show notes below to check your insurance benefits, get those insurance benefits checked. And please, please, please take advantage, because if you do not have coverage for any reason, we will gift you one free month of the Find Food Freedom membership, which includes three live coaching calls. So either you have a free month of support with us, or you have free one-on-one sessions that you can spread out over however much time you want that support. So thank you for being here with me today. Now Old MacDonald is stuck in my head because I sing it with my girls all the time. So I'm just going to go sing Old MacDonald Had a Farm and have myself a great rest of the day. You too. See you next week. Bye. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast.